Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to City Union Bank 3Q FY 2023 results conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prabal Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tanvi. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I once again welcome you all for 3Q earnings call of City Union Bank. We have with us Mr. N. Kamakodi, MD and CEO, and Mr. V. Ramesh, CFO. Without further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. N. Kamakodi for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Hearty welcome to all of you for this con call to discuss unaudited financial results of City Union Bank for the third quarter ended 31st December 2022. Board approved the results today, and I assume you all have received the copies of the results and the presentation. Before going to our business performance, I would like to discuss two things about which we had received multiple calls from the investor and analyst community. First, on the recent RBI inspection report and divergence of NPA for financial year 2021. You may be aware that we had to report a similar divergence which happened in 2016-17. After that, there was no instance of divergence that needed disclosure till 2021. Even the inspection report of our bank, which was obtained through RTA and made public recently, also revealed the divergence was well below the tolerance level. We had our last RBI inspection on financial year 2019, after which there was no on-site inspection by RBI for financial year 2020 and financial year 2021. RBI, via their circular dated 14th September 2020, issued a notification to the banks to migrate to live marking upgradation of NPA accounts on daily basis starting from July 2021. We have moved to live marking, live upgradation of non-performing assets within the stipulated time period as prescribed by the RBI. Since our NPA marking was automated, we had not expected much divergence. In the recent inspection conducted by RBI pertaining to financial year 2022, there were a few cases of divergence which was identified, and all the cases identified as divergence by RBI was not just because of 90 days overdue, but because of various interpretation issues about which maybe I may be giving you some details. The divergence in additional gross NPA for the said financial year as per the RBI report was 259 crore. The gross NPA as on 31st March 2022, as reported by the bank, was 1,933 crore, and as assessed by RBI, it was 2,192 crore. The net NPA on 31st March 2022, as assessed by RBI, was 1,450 crore against 1,191 crore as reported by the bank, amounting to overall divergence of rupees 259 crore. The bank has held a specific NPA provision of 742 crore as on 31st March 2022, and the provision assessed by RBI for NPA provision requirement was 782 crore, with an additional provisional requirement of 40 crore for the divergence marked account. The reported net profit for the year 31st March 2022 was 760 crore by the bank, and after adjusted net profit assessed after this divergence was 719 crore. As per RBI circular, banks should disclose divergence if either or both of the following conditions are satisfied: the additional provisioning requirement for NPAs assessed by RBI exceeds 10% of the reported profit before provisions and contingencies for the reference period. Number two, the additional gross NPA identified by the RBI exceeds 15% of the published incremental gross NPAs for the reference period. As per the above ceiling, 15% of the NPAs worked out to 191 crore, and since additional gross NPA divergence assessed by RBI was 259 crore. We had to make disclosure on divergence, which we reported to Stock Exchange on 20th December 2022. As stated earlier, the divergence was not because of 90-day norms, but due to various reasons, including in the difference in the interpretation of guidelines and things like that. For example, like say the some of the issues happened in the restructured accounts, particularly on the eligibility for the restructuring. For example, the couple of restructured accounts where the sanction conditions were not fulfilled within stipulated timelines. These were marked as divergence. But we thought that, like say, the conditions were fulfilled before the audit, and so we had taken them for as eligible cases for the divergence. The similarly, in like say a couple of cases where there were a couple of accounts close to their account by transferring funds from their sister concerns, and we had given credit subsequently, which was not accepted, and hence the divergence was marked. Similarly, for a couple of cases, like say you have a rule that any like say account in SMA2 is not eligible for your restructuring. While calculating the number of days during the RBI moratorium and subsequently the Supreme Court moratorium, we had not counted the number of days.
This call is now being recorded.
But the interpretation given was that when the, after the Supreme Court moratorium, the days will run and the SMA needs to be calculated by that number. These are all like that. There are all issues. And these two, three sets of items, they explain nearly 70% of the divergence, or about 178% of the divergence that was reported. So we have already started taking corrective steps on that, and subsequently few like say jewel loan accounts and other smaller accounts were also marked, and all those things have been now taken into account. Also, we wish to bring to your attention that out of the divergence of 259 crore, 13 borrower whose balance was more than 1 crore amount to about 89% or 230 crore, and the balance 29 crore constitute about 218 borrower where outstanding was less than rupees 1 crore. Out of these 13 borrower account above 1 crore, 4 accounts amounting to 60 crore was classified as NPA by us in the first half, and 2 accounts amounting to 4 crore were closed as on date. Hence, the balance of divergence above 1 crore category is 160 crore from 7 accounts, which were now recognized during this quarter as NPS. For borrowers less than 1 crore, 218 accounts, one account was marked NPA during H1 financial year 23, and 55 accounts were closed till date, amounting to about 9 crore. Hence, the balance divergence in this category of 20 crore is also now recognized as NPA in this quarter. The if we net effect on the NPA to be marked by the bank comes to 186 crore as said above, and out of 186 crore account worth of 47 crore got upgraded as a standard during Q3 FY23, and hence out of 439 crore slippage for Q3 financial year 23, 140 crore is basically from the divergence because of the divergence. The second item for which we were getting repeated calls was for the recent RBI discussion paper on the expected loss method approach for loan provisioning by the bank. As you all know, all banks are already submitting pro forma Ind AS financials starting from financial year 2019 as advised by the regulator, and these financials were based on IFRS regime, and each bank is having its own method to calculate ECL based on historical loss data. We have also done our own calculations using our past historical data on probability of default and loss expected on default. We have also made our own calculations. And as per our past collection pattern, we have seen the NPA collection from the, recovery from the NPA accounts typically faced a haircut of maybe between 25 to 35% at an aggregated level overall. And the difference between the, existing NPA norms and ECL-based approach for the past 4 years in a cumulative manner, the difference is less than 100 crore. And in our experience, the provision which were held by the bank, PCR, there is a general consensus that it is going to decide the impact on what is going to happen on the final guidelines on the, final provision that need to be made on the ECL method. As you all know, we have about 60 to 70% of provision coverage ratio after taking into account, keeping the technical return off portion also. And it's one good thing is that, incrementally we think better on our interest to slowly and steadily increase the PCR coverage. We have also increased PCR coverage by 3-4% in this quarter. The exact impact because of the ECL thing will be known only after the final guidelines are issued. But by our back of the envelope calculation based on the data whatever we have, we do foresee that after moving to ECL regime, we may require a total of around 200 crores or so maximum, which will be adjusted against CET1 capital and which will be spread over a period of 5 years as per the transitional arrangement given by the RBI. So the every year the impact could be about approximately 40 to 50 crore or maybe about 10 crores or so during the 10 to 15 crore for the quarter or something like that. So based on our overall profitability, the total impact because of this we don't expect that to be a very significantly large amount or whatever it is. I think it should be very well within the capacity to manage on a overall basis. Now let us move to our financial performance. We shared with you all the following expectations for financial year 23 during earlier con call and all. In the earlier con calls, we said on growth parameter, we will try to push the growth pedal and achieve 15 to 18% credit growth for the financial year 23. And we had projected that the investment cycle will start from the Q3 financial year 2023. But you might have heard even during the last week RBI policy, the capacity utilization is still around 75% only, and the investment cycle is getting delayed. So there could be few months of delay in seeing the thing. So the whatever we had projected 15 to 18%, it could be a shared lower. But overall, okay, maybe things are slowly, progressing, but not to that level we are expecting. But things are definitely improving, there is no doubt about it. And the question that repeatedly coming is that some banks are showing 18-20% growth rate coming from the various segment, more on the, consumption side. Even some banks are showing higher growth rate in the SME front and all. What is that? Why our numbers are lower and all? As in the past, we had been very clear that we need to get a comfort on everything all ecosystem favorable for the growth and all. You are also having systemic deposit growth is very high and all. So it is not right to push for growth rate, particularly when you are lower deposit growth rate in the system. So we will take all parameters into account. As I told you that we still have capacity to grow by 3,000 crore plus without increasing our deposits. which will be pushing our credit deposit ratio over 90 and all, but we are not, our risk appetite don't allow us to push so far and all. So we are looking into the matter, and whenever we feel things have ripened for the growth, we will be pushing hard, but we are keeping everything ready for the growth rate. The expected overall slippages, we expected that to be in the range of, around 2.5 for the current year and all. But due to the divergence, slippages increased. So we expect the overall slippage for the current year should be between maybe 2.5 to 2.8 or whatever it is at the current level and all. It should be coming to the 2 to 2.5% going forward. And we should be having all the repayment of restructured loans and all also coming under this year. But overall, things should be coming to the pre-COVID level in financial year 23-24. And things should moderate below pre-COVID level by 24-25 and all on as is various condition, and we expect things should be progressing that way. Net interest margin currently is staying around, we said it will stay around 3.85 to 4. I think currently it is that level. But there is one more item here. Some amount of interest income, particularly from the gold loan interest of close to about 32 crores have not been recognized this year. The interest income on advances for Q3 was lower side to the tune of 32 crore, mainly because of the non-recognition of interest subvention of KCC Agri loan. These loans were given to borrowers for animal husbandry, fisheries, and other agricultural and allied activities in rural and semi-urban areas. And these loans are collateralized by the gold. The prescribed LTV is maintained, and we have given the subsidy to them upfront to these customers when they close the accounts within 1 year period and all. We used to submit our claims of subvention portion to the government on an half-yearly basis. Basically what happened was that during the current inspection, though opined that the end use of this gold loan have gone properly, they have given some observation that there are certain deficiencies in linking the scale of finance to this gold loan. Scale of finance is something where every district level consultative committee, they give how much loan can be given for a cow, or how much loan can be given for 1 acre of the land, or something like that. So basically all these loans are between 1.6 lakhs and 2 lakhs. So we have to now work out and show to them, and our estimation is that though these borrowing is well within this scale of finance, proper recording and proper paperwork is missing, and we have been asked to correct that, audit that, and ensure that the interest subvention which is parted with the farmers and borrowers follow the guidelines properly, and after that only we will be getting our own reimbursement from the government. So we have already parted that with the borrowers. So this particular amount, 32 crores or so, is to be received, and that's why we have not recognized that as that. Once we complete that paperwork to the satisfaction of the regulator, we should be getting that money, which should be happening as soon as possible. So without taking that into account itself, the net interest margin has come in that range whatever we had given to you earlier. The ROA, we said it will be reaching 1.5%. So the even though the quarterly ROA is lower, 9 months ROA is 1.5% as declared in the past. The cost to income ratio has also come below the numbers whatever we had shared. Because of the interest rate is increasing, so in this quarter, let's say the actuarial calculations showed that whatever provisions we had made for the leave encashment during the first two quarters itself is sufficient for the third quarter also. Hence, we had not made a provision for leave encashment in this quarter, which has helped us to, let's say, show lower employee cost this time. And overall, the deposits are just shared below the 50,000 crore mark. Credit to grew by 12% to 43,000 crore, 12% growth between 31st December 2022 to 31st December 2021. Overall, business grew by 9%. CASA recorded 5% growth. We could see after the deposit rate started increasing, migration from the, let's say, CASA to the term deposits also. Gross profit for the Q3 to Q3 showed a growth rate of 35% between Q3 and Q3. Net profit increased by 21% from 196 crore to 218 crore. ROA for 9 months stands at 1.51%. And for the Q3 against 1.32% for 9 months last year. Net interest margin for 9 months is at 3.97%. Gross NPA stands at 4.62% and net NPA at 2.69%. Regarding the SpiceJet, they are paying as per the schedule. They have repaid so far 34.4 crore and the current outstanding is 65.6 crore. Final installment is scheduled to be received by June 2023. We had reversed a surplus provision of 25 crore earmarked for this. The slippage during the Q3 financial year 23 is 439 crore. And as explained earlier, it comes from both our normal usual slippages plus whatever we had to add because of the divergence. In Q3 we had a total recovery and upgradation to the tune of 257 crores comprising of 173 crore from live accounts and 84 crore from the technically written off accounts to 186 crore. Comprising of 134 crore from the live accounts and 52 crore from technically written off account in Q3 financial year 22. The current SMA2 number stands at 2.19%, which includes accounts from ECLGS, restructured and other regular account. Cost to income ratio for 9 months is at 38% against 41.41% for the corresponding year. The capital adequacy ratio for the bank stood at 20.47%. As on 31st December 2022 vis-a-vis 19.39% for the corresponding period last year. We have not diluted any capital in the last 8 years, and last time we raised the funds was during July financial year 2014 using QIP to the tune of 350 crore. After that, in the entire rise in the book value, everything is through, brought back profit only. As explained earlier, ROA stands at 1.51%. Operating profit for the third quarter was at 497 crore against 370 crore for the same period, registering a 35% growth rate. Total provision made during Q3 financial year 23 was 279 crore against 173 crore for the corresponding period last year. The net profit for Q3 financial year 23 was at 218 crore vis-a-vis 196 crore during Q3 financial year 22 with a growth of 11%. Starting from the Q4 financial year 22, we have been achieving quarterly PAT of 200 plus crore on a continuous basis. The 9 months of profit crossed 700 plus crore. We opened 25 branches during the Q3, and the total number of branches currently at 752 branches, and we opened our 500th branch in Tamil Nadu during this quarter. On SR front, the outstanding is only 1.2 crore since we have written off 79 crores of HR, which are crossed 8 years of limit and for which the provisions had already been made. I'm also glad to share with you that we had recently got 6 awards in the past 3 months, 2 from BFSI and 4 from IBA. The key point to note here is that the most of the awards are for the technology related initiatives. So we have completed the technical integration with the brand new filing e-filing portal TIN 2.0, www.eportal.incometax.gov.in. making it one of the few private sector banks to be fully integrated with the new income tax department portal. Now our customers, individual as well as corporates, can pay their direct taxes by selecting CUB in their existing account maintained with SUB. This enables the tax payment process simple, instant, convenient for its customers. So with this solution going live, bank continuing to be the one of the few private sector banks with this service. Indirect taxes including GST payments was enabled by CUB customers earlier. With the above facilities, long-standing requirement of our customers is accomplished by enabling tax payments through the branches, net banking, mobile banking in CUB all-in-one app. To sum up for the financial year 22-23, as I told you, things are improving, but the investment cycle is getting delayed by maybe a few months. The capacity utilization still reported to be by 75%. So some delay in our comfort to push the growth pedal fully and go for the growth. Our slippage ratio was around 2% till financial year 19, and during financial year 20 it increased to 3.2% and stayed around 3% till last year. We expect the overall slippages for the current year for financial year 23 will be in the level of 2.5 to 2.8. So it should, for next year, it should be below 2.5% and probably moving towards the, pre-COVID level in stages. Provision coverage ratio improved to 67%. Maybe we are looking to take it to the 70% plus as quick as possible over the next couple of quarters or so. The next net interest margin will stay around the current levels. ROA also to stay around the current level, that is 1.5% for the financial year. The cost to income ratio also should stay around 40% as we have seen in the past, maybe 40 to 42% in the absence of higher treasury income. So overall, despite this minor setback on that, which happened after maybe about 5-6 years, we feel we should be able to cross this period almost on line with whatever we have shared with you all during the earlier quarters. So the things should be particularly on the general economy front take a better shape going forward, and we hope to see better and better results as we move forward. So with this overview, I open myself for the questions. So we will you can now ask questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just three questions from my end. First, when you talked about 12 to 15% growth and probably, 15 to 18% growth and falling short this year, what would be, in your sense, the target for next year, and what should ideally be industry growth for you to achieve that target? This is my first question.
Please repeat the question. You asked one by one. First question, please.
So I'm saying, sir, when you talked about 15%-18% growth, falling short of 15%-18% growth target that you set for this year, for next year, what is ideally our growth target? And to achieve that growth target, what is essentially industry growth that you probably foresee for next year, for financial year FY 2024?
See, I will be able to answer this question more clearly along with my, next quarter results. There are a few assumptions which needs to get firmed up. So to see, for example, overall growth rate of the system to around, see, the one item which many of us are, not able to understand properly is, you can't push for the advances growth without corresponding increase in the deposit side to run a, have a stable banking system. There are definitely issues with the overall growth in the deposit growth, and if you try to push for the growth at this point of time without corresponding deposit growth in the system, so nobody will be able to achieve, the systemic growth will be, there will be disparity and creating issues. So we are very clear, it has to be balanced. So, I will be in a position to give about my, even though I have, another 3,000 crore worth of, I can go for growth without going for additional deposits. I will be using it only when I get to the, when the deposit growth is also at the site. So I will be in a position to answer your question in a more precise manner, along with the Q4 results. Because anything I give you now, because, for example, when I gave 15%-18% growth, I clearly said I was expecting the, the investment cycle to pick up from the month of December. Even in the, and one of the triggers for seeing the investment growth to pick up is your overall capacity utilization to touch 85%. So there is a clear-cut 10% gap, and currently you are just closer to the pre-COVID numbers. So we will, and any, prediction without having these firm answers, it is not going to take us anywhere. So let us wait for the fourth quarter to make that number. But what I can clearly say is that I will be having a growth rate, expectation is that it will definitely be in double digits. Should not be lower than the current growth rate, whatever we are seeing. But more precise number, we should be in a position to see it around the same, along with our fourth quarter results.
Sure, sir. The second question in terms of the lending yields and probably interest rate movement. So if I were to exclude the current rate hike, which has been there, taken in terms of repo, before that, there were around 225 basis points rise in the systemic rate. What sort of lending rate hike that you have seen in your customer base? So against this 225, how much have you been able to pass through your customer?
See, the overall, taking apart from the gold loan side, we were able to take about 1 to 1.5% was what we were able to share. And we are planning to go for another 25 basis point hike after the current RBI hike. That 0.25%, 25 basis point may take maybe 15-20 basis point, ultimately it may get transformed to. So overall transmission could be around 50 to 60% of the increased rates.
Got it. And so the last question is on asset quality and some bit on clarification on what you said about 32 crores. So on asset quality, even if I were to just knock off the 146 crores net impact that you talked about because of divergence, then also we are running on a higher end in terms of our liquid guidance that we talked about. Plus the fact that we have also stated that in FY24 as well, we will probably move steps towards our earlier pre-COVID run rate of around 2%. Why is that conservatism? Is that something from restructured pool anticipated? anticipated, and that's why you're probably assuming a cautious stance, or how to read about it?
See, basically how it works is, like, say for example, the for the first three quarters, taking out this what you call your incremental slippages, you might have seen the slippage for the first quarter for the financial year was 270 crore, 261 crore for the second quarter, and if you leave the let's say RBI divergence marked, it is about 280 to 290 crore for the current quarter. So the and we have clearly told that we should be having about around 2.5% for the current year. Apart from that divergence marked, the overall numbers are coming to our expectations. So as we have given in the past, like say going forward, that then it has to get reduced to 2 to 2.5%, and then below 2%. As per our expectation, like say we should be getting closer to the like say pre-COVID level like say slippages towards the second half of the next year, after which it should stabilize. So it is I am assuming that pre-COVID level is the regular slippages. So I am keeping that, and the trend is that incrementally the overall numbers are moderating. This is what we are expecting.
So if I may, I'm allowed, can I ask one last question, if possible, or shall I
come? Go ahead.
One last thing, sir, on this 32 crores impact that you probably spoken about and lack of paperwork that you essentially said. So is there any lapses in process as to how this, why this thing of 32 crores, ideally we are having a larger portfolio, but then of this 32 crores amount, why is that the paperwork and all this stuff has happened? Just wanted to get your...
Yeah, let me clearly give you that. See, the basically what happens is that there are two things here. One, accepting that as the agricultural loan with the proper end use. And number two is the scale of finance. So it has been clearly accepted that they are all agricultural loans, and there is no questions raised about the end use itself is a big thing for us. This is point number one. Point number two is the basically these like say the calculations, some of them were basically like say these things had not found their place into the system. So when we like say the particularly the small ticket loans of like say 1.5 crore to 1.6 lakhs to 2 lakhs bucket. So it was, let's say, the ensuring the end use itself was taken as the, what you call, as the proof, and it was a sufficient condition, and there was a capturing that in the paper with the calculation and including that the system did not happen. Subsequently, we in fact made a test case understanding of whether have we funded anything which is beyond the scale of finance and all. But when we went into the case and all, we are very much satisfied with ourselves that the problem is only in entering the, like say, properly, entering the, like say, scale of finance into the system to ensure that. But overall, our back of the envelope calculation says the funding, whatever we had done, is very well within the, what do you call, scale of finance that is stipulated. So there is a lapse in capturing that in the system. It has happened, like say, because like say the proper procedures were not, I mean, it was not anticipated in the thing, which are all the normal thing, and normally the audit happens on the branch level, or the auditor verifies that, he finds that and he gives a certificate, and it was going out for a long time. So it was capturing that in the system and doing a proper math in the paper which was missing is something which we have to improve, and we have already started taking steps on that.
That is it from my side. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask any questions, please enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Renish Bhua from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So just two questions. One is on the state, ROI metric. So let's say assuming
Ravnish is not able to hear you properly.
Okay, just a minute. Better now, sir?
Yes, better now. You may go ahead, please.
Yeah,
Yes, sir. So, just question. So, one is on the steady state, ROA metric. So, we have been always maintaining this 1.5% ROA all over this year. But now, let's say if one has to assume this ECL framework will be the new guidelines, would that impact our steady state ROA assumption, or will be able to compensate with any other line item in the P&L?
See, the 10 crore difference, our calculation shows it should not affect our ROA metrics because of the ECL.
Okay, sir. Sir, and secondly, this is just a clarification. So, this quarter, our staff cost is lower because we have not provided for the leave cash encashment. So, any particular reason why we have not provided this quarter?
Because because of the increase in the overall rates, the actuarial calculations came out saying that whatever we had provided during the first and second quarter itself is sufficient to take care of the third quarter also.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding the gold loan book that we have. So what kind of growth are you expecting in...
Not able to hear you properly.
Hello, is it better now?
It is better, but it is breaking now and then.
Okay. I'll try and see if the reception is better here. My question is regarding the gold loan book. What kind of growth are you expecting in that book in fiscal year 24? And secondly, if you can just comment on the market environment, are you gaining market share from some of the NBFCs, or is it just there is a lot of stress in the system, that's why people are coming to get the loan against gold?
See, the gold loan growth between, December 21st to December 22 is about 25% growth. Overall, currently our 25% of our total loan portfolio is gold loan, which was 21% during the same period last year. So we had about 1,800 crore growth, which works out to about 17-18%, just under 20% growth between the December 21 to December 22. So honestly speaking, looks like the pattern is that we should be having the similar growth or even slightly more for the during the current next financial year is what we are expecting. See, basically how we are managing or how we are managing is the we go for our preference, as I have been repeatedly saying, we do gold loans at places where we don't have other things to do. Our risk-adjusted return in the regular advances, is shared better than the gold loan front. At the same time, gold loans give, advantage on the capital adequacy front. That's why we currently have over 20% Tier 1 ratio. If we are able to grow our regular advances, the growth rate of our gold loans will take a backseat. If we are not comfortable in growing the SME segment, we try to grow the gold loan portfolio in a better to go for the overall thing, which once again is going to be determined to some extent by, how the systemic deposit growth will increase. So we will get a clarity on exact expectations along with our fourth quarter results regarding the growth expectation for the next year.
Understood. That's very helpful. And my second question related to the same topic was, do you think you are gaining market share, and what is the typical gold loan size that we are issuing to customers, and what is the tenure of those loans?
The segment is between that, 1.5 lakhs is the range for 1.6 to 2 lakhs is for the agri loan, and around 1 to 1.5 lakhs for the let's say non-agri personal gold loan. We don't look or give let's say focus too much into the market share per se. So we basically let's say we grow our book depending upon our convenience and our comfort, which we think is in the best interest for the overall balance sheet growth and our own earning matrices of the bank. So we don't try to push things, let's say, the market share is something which had not been a consideration on these things.
Understood. And typically, what is the yield on these loans?
Typically, around, let's say, you have a range of 8 to 9%, depending upon the, let's say, agri, non-agri, KCC, various portions are there. It should be close to 9%.
Okay. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, in the comments you indicated that we have done transmission of around 100 to 150 basis points of the yields. But if I look at the year-on-year numbers, there's a decline. Even in 2Q, there was a decline. And even in 3Q, there's a decline. So just want to understand, like, is it that there are renegotiations happening on the spreads, or how should one look at the movement on yield on advances overall?
See, here you have what you call the one particular item, the gold loan is something which, let's say, has to some extent altered the issue. And also we need to differentiate between the gold loan and the non-gold loan. So gold loan segment is, let's say, something which is around 9%, which is pulling down the average. So overall, in non-gold loan portion, we are able to take that to, let's say, whatever thing. Say, for example, first quarter, our overall yield was only 9.04. We could see about 35 basis point incremental growth for the second quarter. Now, if it had not been there could have been a few more issues. So the negotiations definitely happened. That's why I said the overall, let's say, pass on about, let's say, 50% of the hike to the regular borrowers.
Right, but sir, if you look at on a year-on-year basis, excluding the gold loan book also, if say 100 basis point has increased, then there should have been some increase on a year-on-year basis. So sequentially, there's an uptick in 2Q.
That's what I said. Since the, let's say, for example, the gold loan segment is separate and non-gold loan segment is separate, you don't see the, let's say, incremental item to gold loan directly getting benefited because it is given on a fixed rate. So whatever things we are able to pass on to the non-gold loan is something which I'm telling.
Right, sir. So what would be the yield on a non-gold loan portfolio and how would it has moved in the last 2-3 quarters?
It's about 75 basis point to 1% is what we have seen in that.
Okay, sir. Second one, sir, in terms of the deposits, if you look at this quarter sequentially, it has been broadly flattish. So just want to understand, was it are there challenges in raising deposit, or is it some like we were slow strategically to raise deposit? Just your comments over there.
Yeah, this time things started to grow only towards the quarter end. We are seeing good growth after the first quarter, and we could see migration of when we increased the term deposit rate in the third quarter. Migration from the CASA to the term deposit is what we see. So that's what our expectation is, that we should be getting our clarity, and overall there should be sufficient deposit growth to take care of our advance growth rate by double digit.
And sir, in terms of the contractual maturity of deposits, what proportion of deposits would refi over next 1 year?
You will always have not less than, two-thirds of your term deposits, maybe about 75% of the deposits will be, the preferred duration for the term deposits will be 1 year. So, 70-75% of your term deposits will be repricing within 1 year.
Sure, sir. And so just lastly, the comments around the growth due to weakness in CapEx. So just want to understand the segment where we cater to, like how one, because see, if you look at the commentary from Crestel or others, in the consumption link sector, there's a reasonable CapEx happening with respect to replacement CapEx and some capacity enhancement. So when you're saying that RBI report, the capacity utilization is 75% and typically we see CapEx coming in at 85%, so would that be a fair assumption that even in next year it would be difficult to get CapEx link growth for us? Or should we link that, consider that the CapEx link demand for us is slightly dealing from the overall growth from the larger companies? How should, what is our yeah. historical experience here?
Yeah, our, like say, what we see as a trend now is whatever request we get from the SME front on, like say, investment in the fixed assets, most of the things are now happen, they have started to happen on the, what you call, solar and the sort of non-conventional energy thing, which is not directly linked with the capacity utilization. This probably adds their, like say, adds as a substitute for their energy cost. But our experience is that once things have stabilized after, like say, coming back to the pre-COVID level, the if things happen, like say, for example, our expectation was that these things should have started somewhere in the middle of the last year, but the war, oil price, inflation and macroeconomic instability postponed that, and we expected that to start by the December. Now also we are not seeing whatever we wanted to see in the December. But the once things start improving, it should happen very fast. So let us wait and see. Like overall, as we are hearing, why are you waiting to go for fixed assets is something you hear even during the budget speech and all to the private sector. The when it turns, the turning has to happen really quickly.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
So just firstly on the, you know, related to loan and deposit growth. So what sort of an LDR can we stretch ourselves to?
Theoretically, like say, if you ask, you can stretch up to 90%. That you can do only when you are 100% comfort that you are going to be there only for say 2 quarters. Beyond the third quarter, you will get back to that 85%. Running with 90% LDR for a longer time is not advisable. So that is not in the long-term interest of the bank.
And the future, where I'm coming from?
Yeah, you can increase it to even, yeah, theoretically you can increase it to 90. When, you get a clarity and comfort that you are going to be there only for 2 quarters.
Understood. So where I'm coming from is actually that if you look at, you know, FY23 and then compare to 24, you would actually need to sort of to maintain a 85-87% LDR. The deposit growth has to actually exceed the loan growth in 24. So, you know, I'm just wondering as to how would you achieve that?
Not exactly. Incremental thing has to be at, say, not less than 85% or so. As I told you, I have surplus liquidity of 3,000 crore, which I have. So the take a call depending upon, like say, depending upon the general economic environment, where I feel that I can increase and accelerate, and I should be able to come back in the next couple of quarters and all. Incremental LDR of 85% will do, even to maintain the LDR at the current level.
Understood. So secondly, on this item of 32 crore, can you expect this entire amount to be recognized in Q4?
Can you repeat, please?
Can we expect this entire 32 crore to be recognized in Q4 of FY23?
Yeah, we are actually working for it. There is a process. So we have to complete the paperwork, which has to be audited, which has to be then given to the regulator for inspection, and there is a process. So we hope it should be completed before the current year, and we have to wait and see. We are working with that deadline only.
Okay, so the point being that, you know, the interest income would be normalized in Q4, or over and above that, there will be a 32 crore of additional interest that will be recommended, right?
Yeah, if the process gets completed as per the, let's say, comfort and the confidence of the regulator before audit, that should be the position.
Okay, but what is your sense of the process will be complete?
See, the, honestly speaking, we did not expect this shock even now. So, we, and that's why the, and we hope to complete that by the next quarter. So, I am basically working with the yesterday's target. Hopefully, it should get sorted out before the Q4.
Understood. So, lastly, you mentioned that, you know, PCR would sort of, now we would start building up on the PCR. So, you know, any specific targets we have over the next 2 years as to what sort of a level do we take the PCR to? And hence, you know, will sort of credit costs remain a bit elevated?
See, it's not very high, or, I mean, have any major disturbance to your ROA calculations and all. So I have, my let's say internal target will be to take PCR with the technical rate of to 70% and maybe the, let's say, without technical rate of to 50%. We are just about 3-4 percentage points from that number, and smoothly it should sail through.
So by 24 end, you have to assume that you will reach a 50%?
Maybe even before that.
Understood. That is it from my end. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening. Most of the questions have been answered, sir. Just one question. So sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned on ECL that you would be, you know, you have come at a number of 200 crores, you know, which would suffice for you to transition to ECL. I wanted to get an understanding, sir. I mean, what is the maths behind that 200 crore number? 200 is roughly 10% of your GNPA, right? So if I were to do, then your specific PCR will rise from 43 to maybe 53. Or, you know, how are you sort of arriving at that shortfall? That is the only question.
Yeah. See, basically, the thing is that on ECL method, you have both probability of default and loss on default. So on loss on default, like say the already as we have told, the haircut is maybe about 30% or whatever it is, which we have consistently seen. If you just take that number, our provision already, whatever we have, should be sufficient to take care of whatever losses that could potentially come because of the default. So on that spirit, you should not be requiring any incremental thing. But at the same time, there are, sometime if you read that circular, you will feel that your provision you have to make even more than the advances whatever you have. So if there is, even SMA 0, SMA 1 you have to make, even if you give an interest rate concession you have to make, like that there are a lot of numbers which have been given. So taking into account all these things on a continuous basis, and also once again these numbers on the PCRs and all, they all interconnected to a greater extent. If I do these things quick as possible, maybe I need not require for, we will get a better clarity. So taking all these things into account, This is, like say, purely a back of the envelope calculation, taking into account actual loss on NPA accounts and the expected loss, like say, after the SMA 0, 1, 2 accounts, after becoming NPA, how much of that becomes NPA and do that and all. After taking all these things into account and all, that numbers is arrived at a broader level.
Understood. So more from, you know, stage 1 to stage 2 sort of an account, right? Mostly on SMA where you may be doing only standard assets provisioning, wherein that you may have to increase the provisioning.
Yeah, see, the as I told you, if you take purely on, like say, the there are two things. One is the probability of default and number two, loss on default. So loss on default, finally, ultimately, we see we are able to have this, what do you call, that 30 percentage haircut or whatever it is. So on that basis, for example, the current level should be sufficient to take care of this. So since so many things have basically come, and I have also given you the, like say, from 2019 onwards, the difference between the cumulative provision, whatever we have made for the, based on IRAC norms and based on Ind AS are not very different and all. So as you said, you can say, okay, it's a worst come worst, 10% extra provisioning and cushion you are creating. And which will be falling into taking care of all these other, like say, items which banks have to recognize and all.
Understood, sir. And secondly, sir, in the RBI policy meeting, they had mentioned that, you know, the banks now need to rationalize the penal provisions. If you can quantify, sir, if what is the amount of money that we have collected through penal interest and what is our policy, because we probably have, you know, SMA customers, do we charge penal interest to them, and what would be the total such penalty for FY22 or maybe 9 months?
See, the basically the there are two things. Like say, when I actually listened to that presentation, it was more where basically like say pointed towards the penal charges on takeover. But other penal charges and all, for example, like say if accounts go to SMA, accounts go to these things and all, I don't expect any major thing will come into. Like say the we will be the exact quantification we will be in a position to say only after seeing the ultimate circular. I mean, I don't feel that we are overcharging and all on that front. Let us see after the arrival of the circular.
Understood, sir. Yeah, that is it all from my side, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Just two, three questions again. First, a follow-up on the previous question on ECL assumptions. When we made these ECL assumptions, have we taken 2.5 years data during COVID, or possibly we have taken that as an outlier and based on our ECL estimates, we have not taken those into consideration, which is first?
Basically, we have, since we started with the 2019, the consideration was even 2 years before the COVID.
Okay, so we are taking from 2017 and until...
Something like that. And this particular exact quantification can be given only after seeing the final RBI circular. This is the preliminary estimate.
Perfect. So second thing on your deposit side, so possibly what is the strategy going ahead on deposit, because are we seeing another rate hike on the deposit side, or what are the strategy in terms of how to go about that deposit piece for us?
At this point of time, we don't expect any, deposit rate hike. Exact position probably, the fourth quarter and even first quarter are going to be extremely crucial on understanding the quantum of rate hike.
Got it. And so just last question on this provisions, if I were to just look at the composition of provisions, so there are a couple of write backs which has happened during this quarter. One, possibly you highlighted that you have written back something on spices, if I'm not wrong. Can you again mention the quantum of that particular write back? And what is the other write back that probably you are seeing on P&L when we see the provision composition?
See here, and from the 25 crore write back from the SpiceJet front.
Okay, and the balance 15 crore?
Yeah, we have 75 crore provision against the 66 crore outstanding.
Okay, and so in the P&L there is another write back of around 15 to 20 out crore.
15 crore, this is from the standard assets write back. When the standard assets became NPA, that on gross basis it had to be reversed and NPA provision had to be made.
Got it. Thanks a lot, sir. This is it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darpin Shah from Haitong India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just again on the provisioning bit. So when you mentioned you want to increase the coverage ratios to 50%, you know, on a calculated basis, are you assuming the write backs from SpiceJet as well?
Yes, definitely.
So you expect this account to be completely, you know, nil by June next year, if I'm not wrong. So by then, all the 75 crore reversal will happen, and thus the impact on P&L will be relatively lesser by that quantum. Is that understanding fair?
Yeah, you can assume that way. See, whether we are doing that amount or taking that into pool or taking from the P&L, those things are a matter of speculation. But what is clear is that if the the repayment of SpiceJet is going as per whatever it has happened, it is expected to close the entire outstanding by June, and the entire amount will be available for appropriation.
Okay, and that is where your confidence on 1.5% ROA is derived from, right?
Equal confidence on the increased NPA recovery also.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And so again on growth, you know, while we say that, you know, we need to see a lot of things falling in place, but the industry as a whole has been growing at a much faster pace. So, don't we have a feeling that we are missing on something?
See, the issue is if you outgrow your deposit for a prolonged period of time, it is going to create other problems in the future. So, we will take everything into account and take a balanced approach. Like say, particularly one of the most important thing that is needed is not getting carried away by what others are doing. Precisely because of that only we survived many shocks in the past whenever we were not comfortable. And we have to be cautious and we have to be careful in particularly treading this situation. Say for example, the same thing which the call which we took in not getting into the consortiums and corporate lending, the same questions were asked that we were losing some opportunity. Similarly, there could be short-term opportunities that may be lost, but those things can be covered up at any point of time. But it will be too risky to, push for growth when many parameters which are, not exactly falling online. Particularly at this particular point of time, the investment cycle has not started. And there is a huge gap in the system between the deposits and advances. Some growth you can do, grow in the short term by takeover from the other banks or from, increasing your LDRs and all. But these and all can be only short-term strategies. But there are when you try to break the limitations of the overall metrics, the risk from that will be more outweighing the let's say positive points on increased profitability and things like that. So we will be taking this call let's say in a gradual and as cautious as we were, we will be taking these calls.
So we really appreciate this. You know, we have been conservative and it has paid us, you know, paid on for us very well over the last 5, 7, 8, 10 years. But the thing is, you know, the most conservative lenders on the street, you know, the couple of largest banks, even they have got significantly aggressive. They have been saying that, you know, it is a similar time for, you know, the credit cycle, both in terms of growth and quality. So that is where I was coming in from. But I do get your point. And
Yeah. See, the like say they have a presence in the multiple states, so they may be seeing different opportunities at different places, and there will always be difference in their respective risk weights. So if they may be able to do certain things in a better way, means we have to respect that and see that. But if I try to copy or try to do something because some other banks with different strengths try to do something and all, it may not be good for the bank in a larger area. That's what I'm trying to say. So they if they have better things, like say, I mean, let us respect that and see that.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thanks. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay Doshi from InCred Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for the opportunity. So in the MSME segment, which forms the majority of our book, and sir, in budget 24, our FM has given a credit guarantee scheme through 9,000 corporate. So sir, wanted to know that what will be the impact on this on our MSME business and our customers?
See, whenever, like say, we are also waiting for the fine prints, whether it is exclusively for the existing, to what extent it will cover the existing CGT MSE, or whether they are going to have different items, we have to see. So existing system roughly takes care of those exposures which are less than 1 crore and non-collateralized lending. It will definitely, like say, help the MSMEs without much collateral, but having a proper business plan to use that and get access to the banking credit.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sir, and also I see in your presentation that you have made many partnership with the fintechs to increase your business digitally. So, sir, wanted to get an idea that what percentage of your IT expense is to the total expense?
The total annual expense from both, let's say, capital and revenue put together will be about 200 crore.
Sir, no, I just wanted to know the proportion of your IT expense to...
You make other data you have, you can make your own calculations. It roughly works out to about, to say, 30% of the PAT.
Okay, sir. Got it. Sir, and do you have any plans to expand more in the states of Gujarat and Maharashtra to explore the MSME business? And also wanted to know that what kind of yields are we earning on MSME? And also, do we wish to keep the MSME proportion at 50% also in FY24?
See, the yes, like say, we open about, like say, handful of branches each in Rajasthan, Gujarat and all, we have done over a period of time. So we are, like say, as we have been repeatedly saying, we are better off at the Mofussil centers than at the metros and all. We are, we will continue to do that. Regarding the proportion of these things, say, for example, when I, like say, joined the bank, we had up to 14-15% gold loan, which I reduced it to single digits. Then it came back to 18-19%. Once again, got back to single digits. Then it went back to 20% plus currently. So we, whenever we don't have, like say, we feel other things are risky, we go with the gold loan. Even the current MSME loan, overall we have MSME as per the definition of, like say, law on the UDM registration and all, are already we have more than 50%. MSME, the trading put together, which both are considered as MSME by the, as per the Act, it is over 50% even now.
Okay, okay, sir. Sir, and can you give the split of your floating and fixed rate as on Q3 FY23?
Except the gold loan, the other loans are by and large floating only.
Okay. Okay, and sir, just to confirm one last thing, that's your total secured book. So 100% of that is collateralized. I mean, you have 100% collateral against that.
See, the it cannot be said as like say having 100% collateral on every the secured lending is basically coming from the RBI definition of the secured credit. Like say by and large we have like say not less than 75% or 80% collateral coverage to not less than 90% of the loan book.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. That was very helpful and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Thank you once again, sir. Just one question regarding the restructured portfolio. From a peak of about 2,280, the portfolio has reduced by about 545 or 550 crore. So, can you spread that between, you know, slippages and recoveries, please?
How much NPA and how much is expected?
Yeah, out of the 550.
See, the if you remember, in the beginning of restructuring, I said 15 to 20% will go back. Currently, our expectation, I think, how many percentage are there? 7% are there. So, can you put it? So, overall, like the against the expectation of 20%, I don't have the exact number, but I remember discussing about that. I have about 7% became NPA of that expected 15 to 20%.
Understood. That helps. That helps. That is from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah, once again, thank you all for attending this. The Q3, little bit, like say, the focus was more on the, like say, compliance and other issues, and there were some issues with the investment cycle did not pick up as we expected. But rest all, things are positive only, and whatever we shared with you all regarding the growth, regarding the net interest margin, regarding the ROA and all in the earlier quarter, by and large things are online, and we hope they will be on for the like say future also. So almost everything is in the range whatever we had shared with you all. We may marginally fall short for the 15 to 18% growth rate, but still I think it's not bad. We should be able to take it forward once we get the signals and all. The overall things are getting better and better, but may not be at the pace we expected during the last con call and all, but definitely the direction is very much positive, and things are improving. So if like say the focus on recovery and of NPA particularly will play a major role in the next year, if the to protect the ROA, if the environment is not good for growth and all, but on profitability front we should be able to continue with whatever we have been doing and whatever we have been sharing. So with this, if you have any more question particularly on the numbers and all, the contact details of Mr. Jayaraman. He's already there in the presentation. You can get in touch with him. Anytime you need any details, you can always get in touch with him and all. Once again, thank you all for participating in this conference on Saturday. I hope going forward, things should be improving, and let's hope for the best going forward. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.